Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
And today, guys, we're going to be talking about note investing. This is a class that Jeff took last week and kind of gave him, I guess, a fresh perspective on a strategy. So I haven't heard about it yet. So this will be the first time I'm hearing about it. And so we wanted to do a podcast on it. So Jeff, tell us about, I know you've mentioned before to me that ultimately you would love to invest in notes. Yep. In big tapes of notes. And so you took a class on it. And so tell me about that and kind of what you learned and then what fresh perspective you gained from that.
So we're not going to talk about note investing per se. This was a note class. And what you have to understand is when you're in creative financing, specifically owner financing, you are creating notes. When we ask the seller to carry back or finance part of the purchase to us, we are creating a note. And right. So notes and creative financing definitely go together. And the note business has been something that I have been studying for probably 18 years. And I don't do it to a whole big degree. And I would like to be. I think there's big opportunity for it coming up with what's been going on with COVID-19, with the unemployment, with forbearances, and understanding how notes work. That there's a whole nother world out there. But mm-hmm. What we're going to talk about today is a structure on owner financing that I certainly know about. Actually, this may have been the first owner financing deal that I ever set up. I did this, but for some reason, it just kind of slipped my mind. And we went through an example, and I'm like, oh, yeah. And I think it's really interesting. So I thought we could do a quick podcast episode, because you're always trying to add stuff to your tool belt, right?
That
you want to have different strategies that you can use at different times.
So this is a strategy that you went over.
Yes.
And then you were like, hey, I actually done this before.
Uh-huh.
And I forgot about this.
It was literally like the very first owner finance deal I ever did.
Really? Okay.
And then you'll look at it and you'll say, why was that the first one you ever did? I don't know. I thought it was when he brought it up and he went through it, I had this deja vu and I'm like, why am I not using this? So let's go through a quick example and I'll explain it. Okay. So let's say you have a $300,000 property and you offer the seller $20,000 down and you're asking the seller to finance you $280,000. And let's say the property's free and clear, but really doesn't matter as long as there's some equity.
Okay.
So normally we would come in and we'd say, hey, I'll offer you 280 at 4%, 5%, 2.5%, right? Something to that effect for 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. Some of the time the seller comes back and says, well, I want 5%, and you're saying I can't really afford 5%, and if I was to give you 5%, then I'd need a longer term. These are negotiations that you typically have with sellers, correct? I mean, we've gone over this kind of stuff,
right?
So, what we actually did was, this was a great way. He actually used it. And I have no problem telling you who it was. It's Eddie Speed, who's been in the business for 40 years. And the reason that he did this was he was looking at one of his students' offers, and the student had a good offer. It was solid. And Eddie's like, I can make this better. And the student's like, no, you know, don't screw with my deal. And he's like, oh, don't worry about it. And so the seller wanted a higher interest rate.
Okay.
They had already agreed on 10 years. So they had a good term. But Eddie's like, I want to get you 15 years or 20. And because the longer the term that you have, if you're going to hold these properties, the more money you make, right? I mean, that's pretty clear that we're not setting these strategies up, these offers up, so that we don't make more money for, you know, the longer we go. So what Eddie did was he took this $280,000, and you can do it in a number of ways, but I'm going to show you probably two.
Okay.
The first way is, and what I call this is a blended interest rate. So seller's asking for 5%, buyer offered, I think, 4%. And when you give something, you want to try to get something in return. And right. So this was the deal. 10 years, now we're asking for 15 years. So for, I think, 6 years, we're going to do 2% interest. Okay, so even lower than what the seller wanted. But for 9 years, we're going to do 6%. So we're going to give it to you for even more than what you were asking for. Well, why in the world would we do that? What happens when we offer 2% up front?
You get a ton of principal pay down.
That's right. So when 6% starts kicking in, it's 6% based on a much lower principal
value. I see.
Okay. Yeah. So it's a blended rate. And you can see even that, hey, we're only going to take 6 years and we're going to give you 9 years. And the goal really is that, you know, and you do some calculations to make sure that your payment's not going to, you know, make a huge difference. But I would think in 6 years, most likely, whatever was making you money at the 2%, and if you made an offer at 4, it should still be able to, I mean, you're going to get a bunch of appreciation, raised rents, you know, whatever the case may be over those 6 years, that, you know, so you have this blended interest rate. Okay. There's one other way to do this that I can think of, and that would be to split the money into two notes. And so you could have like, so if I'm giving you 280, I might give you 150 at 3%, and I'll give you 130 at 5%. And so you're now getting a blended rate. And if you look at it, if you offset those amounts, now you're at a little less than 4% total. So even though you're accommodating the seller, if you structure it correctly, now it might even pay off as a benefit to you as an overall monthly payment. Plus,
interesting.
Yeah. go ahead.
Just to clarify, so doing a blended interest rate and securing it with two notes.
Could be, yes. Or doing it for a certain time, and then when you adjust the interest, it's now going to be based on the new principal balance.
Yeah, okay. And you can write that.
Let's figure this out really quick, just so we can get an idea. Okay. So let's take our $280,000 as our present value, and let's do 2%. Amortized over 30 years, 360 is in, and our payment is 1,000 $34.93. And we're going to do it for 6 years. So we'll actually look at what our principal balance will be in 6 years, just as if it were a balloon, but it's not.
What was the interest rate? I just pulled
2%. Okay, 2%. So now let's just enter in 72. That's 6 years, 6 times 12 is 72 as N, and then solve for future value.
What'd you plug in for payment?
So we solve for payment, which is, so we had 360 N, we had 2% interest, $280,000 principal value. Then we solve for payment.
360. Okay.
That's 1,034. And then we solve for future value at 6 years. That's $236,566. Is that what you got?
Yeah, $236,566.98.
Yes. Cool. So now you would take that $236,566 as present value. Now you're going to plug in 6%. And you're going to still amortize it over 30 years. You don't have to. Actually, let's not. Let's amortize it over, well, it would be up to you in reality, because if you're trying to keep your payment lower, then you'd probably take it over 30 years and you start that amortization over again. And if you want to keep that principal pay down coming down, but you may be paying a higher payment, so let's look at it both ways and see what would make the most sense. So $236,566 present value.
Yep.
6% for 30 years.
6%.
Okay. So the payment goes up to $1,182. Okay. So it's about $150 more.
Okay.
Okay. If, so I can tell you already, if you amortize it over less, it's going to be higher. But let's see, let's do that one more time. 236,566 present value.
Yep.
6%, 30 years payment, 1,182. And we're going to do this for 9 years, right? So what is that, 108 months? Is that right? 108. Yes, 108 months. So, oh, that's not what I wanted.
Present value, 6% interest.
Did you figure this out? I screwed up. Present value, 6%, 360.
Yeah, I messed up somewhere here too. And the payment stays the same.
And what did you get for your payment? Are you getting 1,400 or are you getting 1,100?
So I didn't solve.
So I'm actually getting $1,418. So your payment went up significantly. So yeah. Maybe you can't offer six, maybe you offer five. So 5% would take it down to $1,269. But remember, we've got another 5 years added to our term. So even if what you were making cash flow wise is now less of the rents, or your monthly cash flow has not appreciated, it hasn't changed a whole lot. Hopefully you're still making some, and that's spread out over an additional 5 years. So ultimately it makes you more money up front. Now you're going to play around with some of these numbers to make sure that they work for what it is that you're trying to accomplish, but ultimately that's the goal, is that when you're stuck on an interest rate that you can't get the seller to come to terms with. Maybe you offer it less for upfront years where you get that principal pay down, and then offer the higher interest rate on a lower balance. And
yeah,
even though the payment may increase a bit, you can also probably count on that increase in rents to help offset it. But now you get, you go for more of a term. So instead of 10 years, now you're trying to expand it out for another 5 years.
So longer, yeah. And with the principal pay down, hopefully that offsets it enough so that your payment doesn't change too drastically.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you, I mean, if you look at this, if the seller doesn't ask for any kind of prepayment penalty, right? Then, hey, after 6 years, you paid this down to 236. You paid down like $44,000. What's stopping you from going and refinancing or selling it off at that point anyway? Mm-hmm. And if the seller did want, hey, I don't want to get paid off, I want my 6% or my 5% on the back end, well, this is where you would put in substitution of collateral, right? So where you could then go use this money if it was to get cashed out early, that, yeah, I'll still keep making that payment to you. That way you'll get your interest that you were hoping for. But now I'm going to use that money somewhere else to that's going to allow me to create even more income from, you know, fairly cheap money, right? 6% you would be happy with, correct?
Yeah, yeah, for 236, yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty creative. So what you're saying is you can continue to add on to it with having a substitution of collateral clause in there, so that
only if the seller wanted to be sure that, hey, what happens if you cash me out early? And but to me, right there, if we don't have that conversation, then there's no prepayment penalty, and I can cash you out whenever I want. And now I get to look at, hey, where's the market in 5-6 years after my super good interest rate is? Maybe I want to sell it. Maybe I want to refinance it. Maybe I just want to keep going. If I decide not to, then as long as there's nothing in there about that, then there's nothing to chat about. If there is something, if the seller says, hey, you know, what's my guarantee that you'll hold this for, you know, the full term, then that it's like, well, let's make sure that I do. And in which case, we're going to put a substitution of collateral clause in the purchase agreement that allows us to secure other properties with the use of this money, with at least as good of position as they have on this. But what do they have on this? I mean, 280 on a $300,000 purchase price is, over 90% loan to value. That gives us a lot of flexibility in whatever we want to go use this money for.
Right.
The only negative is if you're not using this money, it's costing you, right? Mm-hmm. So you got to find ways to use it, which there's plenty of ways that, I mean, even if I just wanted, I didn't want to deal with it, right? Could I lend it out? Could I do hard money? Could I lend it out at private money and, you know, just higher than 6% make a profit? Could I buy notes? Could I buy another rental that creates enough cash flow that potentially pays this note plus some? There's all kinds of ways. The negative is if it sits in a bank account and you just get to make those payments, that will hurt you.
Right, right.
You could even, and I don't want to get too complicated here, but let's say that there was an underlying debt. Let's say there was $100,000 underlying debt. And so we were only really working on that $180,000 note. So instead of creating one note, we'd probably create two. One would be an exact wrap of that underlying note, but that if that's been in place for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, so it's already gone through where you are getting decent principal pay down. Now you would get that advantage. And you're now dealing with a smaller amount. So you're getting rapid principal pay down early on that smaller amount. And so that would decrease until, year nine, where you're now giving the higher interest rate, but now the substitution of collateral would work as well. Now it would only be for the note of the equity, not the full amount, because that's the note that you can use, right? The underlying debt gets paid off.
Yeah.
So know what, this wouldn't be worth it if, their equity is like 30 grand. There's no use for 30 grand as substitution of collateral kind of thing. If it's significant, you can still structure it in a way where you could use this money at year, it doesn't matter, but you would have use of it up to 15 years, which is pretty good. And even 6% money is certainly better than, hard money rates. And it's probably right in line with what you would get as far as private money.
Yeah. And I can see how if you just did one deal like this, where based on the numbers we just went over, if you just held a property for, that 6 years, and then at 6 years, especially in an appreciating market, you're probably going to have a ton of equity. And then you just sell and then take the money, the appreciation along with that substitution collateral, and then go invest all of that back into some other property or commercial property. Sure. You could build wealth pretty quick using that strategy.
Correct. So, when I structured it early on, it was not, what I did was like an escalating interest rate. So I started really low and I spread it out over several years, and I had like two different interest rate changes. And I didn't even really know why I was doing it, what the goal was, but I must have realized back then that, I'd rather have that lower payment and lower interest rate now when the balance is low, so I can get the principal to pay down. And I expect that rents will continue to increase into the future, and will help offset any kind of increase in monthly payment that I might have.
Yeah, and this really is it kind of, let me ask you this, what ways is it different from like an ARM, an adjustable mortgage rate?
No way, other than that we know what it's going to adjust to and when with an ARM, we don't necessarily know. There's a range, and we're not sure what it's going to end up.
Yeah, so really it's just setting the terms on when the rate adjusts. So it's an adjustable rate mortgage, but it's just setting the terms on when that happens.
Yep, but what we're ending up doing is, depending on how we structure it, we're blending that rate. So we might have this killer rate early on. We may have this less super great rate later. But if you blend the two, you might be at that 4% where going to be. So, or that 4.25, 4.5, 3.5, whatever it may be.
Just taking like an average of the interest rate paid over that entire time frame, that 15 year that we talked about.
Yeah, and I think it's a good way of dealing with a seller that might be hung up on, my underlying loan is 4.5 and I've got to make more than that, I could get 4% on the 5% on this on the open market. Well, hey, I'm paying you your price, and I'm giving you a significant down payment, for me to come up to your interest rate. What I would need to do is kind of blend it. So, we'll start out low, and I need to extend that term because, with a higher payment, it's going to be difficult for me to achieve the return on investment that we need. So extend the term, blend the interest rate and maybe even set up substitution of collateral if you got a long term with a bunch of equity.
Yeah, I love that. That's super creative, and we really haven't talked about this before. And I guess explaining it to a seller, I mean, you could say, "Hey, have you heard of a an adjustable rate mortgage?" I mean, it's the same thing. So,
And I don't even know if you would really need to, other than say, "Look, I'm willing to give you your interest rate, maybe even more." But what we need to do is start out smaller and work up to it just so that I have time to, hopefully the rents will allow me to keep up with paying you more as opposed to where they are right now. And if there was work that needed to be done on the property, that's how I'd explain it. I need to get in lighter for the first few years so I can put my money back into the property, as opposed to putting it in your pocket.
Right. Yeah.
But so as it gets open, fixed up over time, now I can start putting it back in your pocket.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I love that. That's super creative. So guys, I hope you've gained a lot of value from this episode, because that's definitely a strategy we haven't talked about. And that's cool that's cool that you've actually done one of these deals and it was your first deal. Because
it was my first one.
Yeah. That's super creative. And there's just all kinds of possibilities you can do with that. So cool. Love it. All right, guys. Well, we're going to wrap it up right there. So if you're interested in reaching us, if you're working on a deal, you can reach us on our creative financing hotline at 877-409-8090. Again, 877-409-8090. If you're interested in Jeff's apprenticeship program, you can get a hold of him there and just mention specifically that that's what you're interested in. You can catch us on Facebook at the Creative Financing Podcast, and all of our episodes are on the creativefinancingpodcast.com. So any last words, Jeff?
If you haven't gotten that video, text us to the hotline. It's free. You should check out the video. It will be very helpful. It's a good visual for you, start to finish on a deal, figuring out what to do with it, how to sell it, how to analyze it, how to put together the offers. And I'm always looking for apprentices, people that want to work with us. We will help you in terms of your real estate career. My goal is to help 25 people this year get to where they want to be in real estate. And there are some exciting things going on right now in the market. So the time is now.
Awesome. Love it. Okay, guys, till next time, go out there and create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.